Oh. Okay, great. It is January 25th, 2024, 9 o'clock a.m. I'm Phil Albrecht, a hearing examiner for Kitsap County. We have a couple applications to review this morning. The first one we're going to do is the front setback zoning variance. That's file number 22-03678 from the Brewers. The hearing format will be start off with a presentation from staff. Then from there, we'll go on to the applicants if they wish to participate, then public comments if there are any members of the public out there who want to add something. Then we go back to staff to answer questions, provide any rebuttal evidence they find necessary. Then applicant gets final word, and I get 10 business days, a couple weeks to issue a final decision. So I'm going to share my screen at this point and show you the documents that will be considered in this hearing. This is something that staff put together, rather these are exhibits that staff honored me to take a look at in preparation for this hearing. As should be shown on the screen here, I have 1 through 11 documents. 10 and 11 are documents yet to be put into the record, but the record is proposed by staff, is composed by their staff report, application form, site plan, a geotechnical report. There's some slopes on this property, health district approval, the notice for the application, an addendum to the application, a notice of the hearing, and certification of public notice. Staff presentation, which will be the upcoming PowerPoint, and hearing sign-in. At this point, I just want to ask if anyone has any objections to entry of these documents or needs to see any of these to see if they object. Just raise the virtual hand on your Zoom screen if you have any problems with those documents or need to see them. Not seeing any takers on this, I'll go ahead and admit exhibits 1 through 11. So let me stop my share. And who's going to be the staff person on this one?
Hi, my name is Catherine Schaefer.
Okay, Ms. Schaefer, let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm, tell the truth and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
All righty. They're going to pull up the PowerPoint really quick. Okay, well, again, good morning. My name is Catherine Schaefer, and I'm the current planning supervisor, and I'm here today to present the Brewer zoning variance. The application proposes to reduce the required 50-foot front setback to 25 feet to allow for the construction of a 480-square-foot detached garage. The request for a 50% reduction of a zoning variance requires a Type 3 process with the hearing examiner approval per Kitsap County Code 2104-100 review authority table. And this presentation intends to augment and further support the staff report prepared by the department. Okay, we're going to start with the vicinity right now. It's the general vicinity of the entire county. The large red arrow points to the shoreline subject property, which is located off of Anderson Hill Road in Central Kitsap, Commissioner District number 3. And we've zoomed in a little bit, and this is the zoning map. The subject property is zoned rural protection, which is shown in green. And there's a little bit of purple over there to the east, and the P stands for park. So as you can tell, very much a rural protection surrounding the subject property. This zone promotes low density rural development and agriculture activities that are consistent with rural character and protects environmental features such as steep slopes, wetlands, and streams. The zoning setbacks for this parcel are established in Kitsap County Code 17420 density dimensions and design, and include a 50-foot front setback to the south property line along Anderson Hill Road. That is what we're here to reduce. Side setbacks to the east and west are 20 feet for primary structures and 5 feet for accessory structures like the proposed garage. And the rear setback is governed by the shoreline, which is 130-foot buffer. Okay, here is the most recent aerial that the county has. This is from 2021. And this it shows the subject property, which is 1.6 acres, and it's currently developed with a 2,540-square-foot single-family residence and a 364-square-foot carport. Also, the aerial shows development consistent with the rural protection zone with single family homes and garage structures along either side of the subject property and a little bit to the east as well. But I'll show you a more zoomed out aerial as we go along. Next is the critical area map. The pink red area represents erosion and landslide areas. And then the individual pink lines represent 5-foot contour lines. So the closer the lines are together, the steeper the slopes. So as you can see, the lines are very close together on that northern portion of the parcel. So that's a very significant slope, estimated about 50%. So these hazards, as well as the shoreline buffer, are pushing development forward closer to Anderson Hill Road. There was a hazardous areas geologic report prepared by All American Geotechnical, submitted with the application. It was dated December of 2022. And the report stated that the development site, while within 200 feet of two different landslide slash bluff mappings, is no danger of landslide failure or mass wasting. The report also stated, we recommend that the project proceed. The project is conditioned to follow the recommendations of the report. I believe that is condition number 5 in the staff report. So next is the site plan, and I do apologize that we've been looking at one orientation of the parcel, and then the site plan is a different portion. If I turned it to the same portion, the site plan didn't show it very well on the PowerPoint. So I do apologize, it's a different orientation now. However, this is a great depiction of the different constraints on the property. For example, so the garage does meet the 5-foot setback required for accessory structures. This does depict the constraints of the lot. For example, you can see on the southern portion of the property, you've got a primary drain field, which includes a no-build portion. So you can't build within the primary drain field as well as the area around it. So it does say a no-build line as well. So that whole portion is unavailable to house this garage. And then as shown, the steep slopes take up about 40% of the subject property, again, as I mentioned, pushing that development forward towards Anderson Hill Road. And then, like I mentioned also earlier, the contour lines, you know, are 5-foot interval lines. So if you note the contour lines near the home, those contour lines make the subject property tiered. So it's two different tiers. So there are a lot of design elements that you can negate that tier with a single family residence. So for example, you can have a daylight basement if you're building into a hill, but it's really difficult to have a garage be two tiered. Next, here is the neighboring property. So this is a zoomed out version of the street. As you can see to the east, 8880 has an attached garage that is within the zoning setback buffer. And then we go a little bit further to the west for 9040, and that also has an accessory structure within the front setback. So it's not uncommon for this particular street and area to have these accessory structures within the front setback. The neighbor to the east, that structure was built in 1972. So it would be considered legal nonconforming, but it does fit with the character of the vicinity. Okay, now we're going to get to the variance criteria. So Kitsap County Code 17560.010, conditions for granting a variance. A variance may be granted to any numerical standard of this title, excluding housing density, only when unusual circumstances relating to the property cause an undue hardship in the application of this title. The granting of such a variance shall be in public interest. A variance shall be made only when all of the following conditions and facts exist. So the first one is there are special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including size, shape, topography, location, or surroundings. that were not created by the applicant and do not generally apply to other properties in the same vicinity or zone. So the subject property is a shoreline parcel with a large cliff on the northern side that pushes development towards Anderson Hill Road. Though other properties on the same side of the street are also shoreline properties with difficult topography, not all of them, for example, the neighbors across the street, experience these type of challenges. The topography and the shoreline were not created by the applicant. In addition, the subject property has those two tiers that I mentioned. The upper tier is available for building. However, the 50-foot setback would impinge on the existing home. If the proposed garage had to meet that setback, it would be in the area of that single-family residence. And the lower tier would impinge on the drain field and the septic. B, such a variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right or use of the applicant possessed by the owners of the other properties in the same vicinity or zone. The proposed garage is for the purpose of storing electric vehicles and will have solar panels to power these vehicles. Having electric and solar amenities will aid in the preservation of the property. There are several properties, as I mentioned before, on the same street that also have structures within the established 50-foot setback. C, the authorization of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to property in the vicinity or zone in which the property is located. The proposed garage will be fully hidden due to the existing vegetation on site. Due to the vast screening from the existing trees, neighbors in the vicinity may not notice the garage once it goes in. So they may not even know it's there because of the vegetation around it. The real character would remain. So D, the variance is the minimum necessary to grant relief for the application. The proposed garage is only 480 square feet with no plumbing proposed, and it will accommodate two cars. No other space is proposed within the structure, for example, not like a working area or anything like that. It's just to park two cars. So this is considered a small request. Staff found the proposal consistent with the comprehensive plan and the zoning standards for the Rural Protection Zone and Kitsap County Code Title 17. And the proposal meets the criteria for zoning variance in Kitsap County Code 17560-010 as analyzed in Section 10A of the staff report. The department recommends approval with five conditions, and I'd be happy to address any questions.
Okay, well, first of all, maybe could you kind of show me the two tiers on the property you're talking about on the contour maps?
I think the critical area map would be the best. So if you look near the home, the northern portion of the parcel, those lines together represent a steep slope. So those are all going like this, and it's 5 foot intervals. And to measure the slope, you do rise over run. So you take the distance and you measure you count five. So if you look on the southern portion of the property, you see those three lines. So those are making the property, and I know I'm making some hand gestures, kind of like this. So it would be difficult to put a garage in that area because it's two tiered like that. And if we could zoom in, so if you also see the garage, the driveway to the proposed home goes. Right. See where the car is parked. So in order, they'd also have to augment the driveway and go. If they wanted to have a garage on that second tier, they'd have to take that driveway and cut into the slope going.
So are you saying the tiers are running east west then, basically, that in the front area of the property there are two tiers?
So I think it's going east and west. Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. So if you built the garage further to the west, then there'd be like a 5 foot difference that it has to deal with, is that, or 5 or 10 maybe?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
And like I mentioned, you can, for a single family resident, you can design around that, but for a garage, it's a little difficult.
I see. And why can't they push the garage further north from the property or from their front property line? Is that because they need driveway access? Is that the limiting feature in that regard?
North property line. So
No,
towards
I mean if
the
they could just push the garage further away from the Anderson Road, further north. Maybe we'd look
Okay.
at the site plan, yeah, because
Yeah, okay.
I think they have a contemplated driveway there, but are they really not able to, would they really not have enough room to access the garage if you pushed it further north?
Yeah, so for example, if you put it on the, if you're looking at the house and it's to the east, they wouldn't meet the side setback if like they put it parallel with the existing house. So there is a 5 foot setback on the
But I mean,
that
if you just
eastern.
pushed it straight north, so that it was, 50 feet from the front lot line instead of 25. I mean, I right now how much there's like it looks like there's about 50 feet of separation between the house and the proposed garage, right? What if you made that 25? Is that pushing it over the two tiers of the property, or what would be the problem in doing that?
Yeah, I do, and the applicant is online to give a little bit more context of those two tiers. Yeah, so I think it would be too close to the existing house, and then it may not be able to meet that other side setback too if we were to push it more to the north and to the east.
Okay.
I think
Yeah,
this
I
is a
was just
better,
thinking straight
yeah.
north.
Here we
But
go. Yeah.
yeah, and so have you looked at that site? Would it not be possible to reduce the size of the garage and still accommodate two electric vehicles? Is this really the minimum necessary? Because we don't have there's no site plan of the garage in the record. I don't know how much space they really have and whether this is really the minimum necessary to accommodate a two-car garage.
Okay. Well, keep in mind, as I mentioned earlier, this is so that the cars can have solar panels
Right.
to
Yeah.
power this the electric vehicles. So, 480 square feet is for a garage is not very large. I've seen proposed garages that are, 1,200 square feet that have parking and shops and storage and things like that. So, this is relatively small. It's
Okay.
not a large ask.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the same time, the encroachment isn't that, 25 feet isn't that much. And if that could be avoided and still accommodate a two-car garage, of course that's preferable, but you're saying this is not an unusually large garage and it's not doesn't have a lot of shop space. So that I guess that's the most important factor. And then of course I guess another consideration in building in the front yard is impacts on site distance. I mean, we're near a curb, but it doesn't look like that's a factor in this case. I just want to kind of confirm, is that correct?
That's correct. In fact, you can see the vegetation on
Oh, there it
right near
is.
Anderson Hill. So it's like a cove almost of trees. So like I mentioned in the presentation, if they were to build it, people may not even notice it. So it's that
Right.
well
Yeah.
screened.
Yeah. And is the where's the existing garage? The carport, is that already gone or?
So the carport is to the west. The house was built in 2004, but I couldn't find a date for the carport.
No, okay.
The applicant is online, so he or she may be able to give a little bit more detail about the carport. But that's only 364 square feet, and it's open. And if you notice, the driveway doesn't lead to the carport either. So it's not like they're driving to the carport to park.
So,
That might be
I mean, can we
more.
see the carport in this area? Is that because
Oh, you don't? Oh,
the site
okay.
plan, it's depicted, the other structure is depicted as a shed. So I didn't know where the carport was.
Yeah, it's to the west of the house. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, that is okay. I thought the site plan said
Yeah,
that was
if
a shed.
yeah, here we go. Yeah, I think it's a shed slash carport. They don't park in it. If you notice on the aerial, they're parked right in front of the house.
Oh, okay. Okay. And the shed's going to stay there. Is that correct?
Correct. And there's no
Okay.
ability to park in the shed either, or there's no driveway that leads up to it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
Oh,
it's
okay.
like isolated, yeah. And I think it's because of the tier, so I think you'd have to build the driveway to
Right.
go down and then up. So
I mean, why is it called a carport then if it's not used for that? I guess that's the part that
yeah,
kind of
I'm not
confused.
sure. That's what the assessor called it. They
Oh,
called
I
it a
see.
carport.
Oh, okay.
So
Okay, gotcha. All right, that's what got me a little off. Okay,
yeah.
great. Okay, that'll make sense. Thank you. All right, well, let's move on to the applicants. If the applicants have anything they want to say, see, we've got The Brewers on wavecable.com. If you want to say something, now's your chance. You don't have to, though. That's okay.
No, it's not a problem if you can hear me.
Yeah,
I'm
can
not
hear you. Let
sure you
me
can.
swear in, Mr.
Okay.
Brewer. Do you swear affirm
Yeah.
tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this
Oh,
proceeding?
absolutely.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
There actually is a carport where the car is seen on the picture is just outside the carport. It's attached to the house. Currently, we have two cars that barely fit into there. And it's going to be a one-car garage, not two. So we plan to use the carport just to cover one of the cars.
Oh, I see.
And yeah, and if you moved it closer to the house, you would have no room to turn the car around.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I
It,
thought.
yeah, it, it's a pretty tight fit. So the area that you see with crushed gravel is pretty much where we would place the garage, but we might have a, like a little cement apron because the garage will be a little higher elevation than a driveway. But if you can imagine turning around, we barely have enough room to turn around now when you back out of the carport and then go out along the driveway.
Okay.
If you encroach on that, it would make it a real a real hazard for accidents. Also, along the green line, the northern portion of the property are very large Doug firs. And then there are magnolias, Japanese maples. There would be a lot of demolition involved to fit the garage closer to the house. We'd have to remove a lot of trees. It would make essentially a very large mess. We originally planned to have the garage made at the time of the house being built in that site that you can see out, outlined with the crushed stone. We just didn't have the resources at that time to pursue that.
And in
And
terms of the garage design, is that the really the minimum size you can have to fit one car
for one
and your
car.
solar panels?
And we wanted to use, the design is to fit in with the style of the house. So
Okay.
it looks, it has the same features, the same slope roof, and the direction of the roof pretty much faces south. So when it comes time to place solar panels, we'll get a maximum exposure of the sun.
Okay.
So you know, that's important.
Yeah, because in a variance review, one major factor is it's the minimum waiver necessary to
Right.
accommodate reasonable use, which in this case is really a two-car garage, and you're just asking for one, and that's certainly a factor. But so yeah, I just need to kind of confirm then that this is the space here you need for your garage pretty much is that's the minimum
Yeah,
you
it's a one
can
bay garage.
car. Pardon?
It's a one bay garage, one garage door
Yeah,
for.
but there isn't a whole lot of like storage space or something on the sides
Well,
or
no,
workspace.
up, there'll be a stairway and we can just store some stuff upstairs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, be
All
a
right.
little
Yeah, and
dormer
that's
base. Yeah.
yeah. Okay, but on the first floor, it's pretty much just fits a car and not much else. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's what I needed. Okay, anything else, sir?
No, we have the property is highly engineered for stormwater. Any roof line that you see has drains that go down to the beach, bypasses the slope. We have not had any activity on the slope at all as far as slides, unless you go up right up to the last 20 feet or 30 feet on the north side. That's an area that has had some activity over the years. It's still the project is 300 and some odd feet from that area. It's not going to impact on that. And we also have deep drains drilled under the ground that are directional drains that slide across the top of the clay seam that's underneath the lower tier, and it drains all the deep water out, and that runs all year round. So we have surface drains on that parallel the property. We have downspout drains and drains around the foundations that are tight lined down to the water. So there is no water hitting the ground except what hits the ground. In other words, there's no collected water from the roofs. That's all bypassing the property. And we've had tremendous success. There have been no slides. As you can tell by the vegetation on the slope, everything has stayed put. We're really happy. And our neighbors as well are, we're on the same team. They have curtain drains as well, and we tie into one another because we're all looking for the same outcome. We don't want any slides at all. So yeah, it was pretty much proposed when we built the house. We just would like to do it now, and so it's going to be a little encroachment. There's some very large cypress trees that completely hide the structure except for the very front. And I'm on good terms with both neighbors, and they're like, they really don't mind at all. It's not within their line of sight, for the mountains and the view. They really don't have an opinion one way or another, whether we proceed or not.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Brewer. That's really helpful
Sure.
comments. Really completed the record for us. So let me,
Okay.
at this point, I'll see if there's anyone else out there want to add anything. I mean, Ms. Schaefer, there's still nobody in the council chambers, correct? Or commissioner
Correct.
chambers, I should say. All right. And not seeing if anyone out there wants to say something on this application, just raise your virtual hand at the bottom of your screen. Not seeing any. So I think at this point, Ms. Schaefer, did you have any additional comments you wanted to make?
No, thank you so much for hearing our case.
Yeah, it's real. It's a good case. I'll go ahead and close the hearing. Beautiful property out there, and I think the looks like pretty good justification to approve it. I should be able to do that, and we'll get that out in a couple of weeks. So, Mr. Brewer, thanks for participating today. And as I mentioned, we'll get that decision out real soon. So, we'll go ahead and adjourn that hearing. Move on to the next one. Pull that up. Let's see. Okay, and this next hearing is going to be the same format as the last one. It's for the Turk conditional use permit application for an accessory dwelling unit, file number 23-00732. And looks like on this one, we just have the applicant, Mr. Turk, in attendance. Is that correct, Ms. Walston? And
Yes.
staff, of course. Ms. Schaefer, is this yours again?
No,
Oh,
Jennifer
no.
Kreidel.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So, as I mentioned, same format as last time. Staff presentation start, then applicant, then public, if any public shows up, and then we go back to staff rebuttal, applicant final word, and I have 10 business days to issue that decision. Let me share my screen for the exhibits. Oh, I can't tell which is. Oh, there it is. All right. Okay. So, am I showing the Turk exhibit list, Ms. Walston? Okay. She's
Yes.
shaking her head. Yeah. So, on this one, we have 19 exhibits at this point. I guess since we just have Mr. Turk here, I just want to ask Mr. Turk, do you have any objections to entry of exhibits 1 through 19? I'm assuming you got a copy of the staff report and these documents in advance. But if you have any problems with those documents, go ahead and raise your virtual hand and we'll take up your objection. Let's see.
No objections,
Okay, no
thank you.
objections. So we'll put that into the record. Exhibits 1 through 19. All right. And so who's our staff lead on this one?
Good morning. Thank you, Examiner Ulbrichs. For the record, my name is Jenny Kreifels,
Oh, okay.
and
That's perfect.
it's spelled K-R. Oh, I gotta do
Oh, sorry. It was very good. Do you
that.
swear or affirm tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Okay, so I am a planner with Kitsap County Department of Community Development, and today I am presenting a request for approval to a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit. They are pulling up the PowerPoint now. And this conditional use permit for the ADU, I will call it from here on out, is to convert the use of an existing structure built in 1928 to come into conformance with current code standards as a detached ADU, site development review for utilities,
An access driveway and parking areas are included in the proposal. Slide 2 shows the application was deemed complete on April 15, 2023. A notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21, Land Use and Development Procedures, which provided recipients with project information and an opportunity for public comment. No public comments were received by the department. Pursuant to Washington Administrative Code 1971135, the Department of Community Development, or DCD, used an optional DNS process for this project. That's a determination of non-significance. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrent with the notice of application dated May 3rd, 2023. Excuse me. The Department of Community Development issued the DNS on December 1st, 2023. The SEPA appeal period ended December 15th, 2023. No appeals were filed, therefore the SEPA determination is final. According to the Kitsap County Assessor, subject parcel 152302005-2001 is 5.23 acres in size, addressed as 6641 Banner Road Southeast in Port Orchard, Washington. This is in South Kitsap and Commissioner District 3. The aerial photo here shows single-family homes and accessory structures that are consistent with development found in the rural residential zoning. The proposed ADU is consistent with the properties in the vicinity. The parcel labeled subject site is here in red, zoned rural residential, and all adjacent properties to the north, east, and south surrounding the site are also zoned rural residential. To the east is a county-maintained collector arterial, and this road is known as Banner Road Southeast. There is the purple to the west, which is parks, zoned, and also rural residential in that square green box you see there. That's beyond Banner Road. Zoning setbacks for the parcel are established in Kitsap County Code Chapter 17.420 as a 50-foot front setback, which is to the west here, and with 20-foot side and rear setbacks. Those are being met in this proposal. Slide 5 shows the subject site highlighted in green. It is not mapping any on-site critical areas, and no new clearing limits are proposed outside of this existing development. Here is the site plan. And I also needed to orient, or the orientation for this is showing the north arrow to the left. It just fit better on the page this way. But it does show the site has proposed access from Banner Road Southeast for the existing driveway to be shared by both dwellings, both the single family resident principal dwelling, as well as the ADU. There is a building permit number 2203442 for this ADU proposal. It was submitted and is under review awaiting approval of a land use application. The site plan shows four spaces will meet the parking standards for both the SFR as well as the ADU. Applicant's floor plan is shown here. This is for the existing manufactured home used as the principal dwelling unit, which is 2,536 square feet. Therefore, the maximum size allowed for the ADU would be 900 square feet. The floor plan also helps to determine that there are no accessory dwelling units within or attached to the primary residence. The upper photo here does show the existing manufactured home. It's used as a principal single family residence. And below is the photo showing the structure proposed to be converted to the ADU. These are the assessor's historical photos. And here's a site plan received by DCD stamped in the year 2000. The application permit 12567 details and notes that a conversion of the manufactured home at the north portion of the property was to be the primary residence, as shown on the left here in this photo. or in this site plan, I should say. The existing structure, originally built in 1928, was to be a special care unit. And that is noted at the upper right in this plan. And then there is a 30 by 40 outbuilding in the center, which also exists on site today. There was an approved reactivation permit under number 1904735, shown as closed finaled on December 23rd, 2019. This was in order for the applicant to complete what we call a title elimination. And that was due to eliminating the title for the manufactured home. Okay, here are some conceptual renderings demonstrating elevation and design style of the proposed ADU. At the left is the north elevation, and we see the south elevation to the right. And here we are seeing the east and west elevations. And here are some current photos facing the north building. I better make sure I get these right. Let's see here. So we have the north building facade. Nope, that's not right. Okay. Here are some current photos of the existing structure proposed for the ADU submitted by the applicant. South elevation is at the upper left, and to the right is looking at the east facade. Here are current photos facing the north and the west, as you can see on the lower photo. The floor plan for the ADU demonstrates the size proposed is 884 square feet of habitable area on the main floor, with 600 square feet for storage use in the attic above. It should be mentioned that Kitsap County Code 17110319 defines habitable area as the entire area of a dwelling unit or living quarters used for living, sleeping, eating, and/or cooking. Storage areas and garages are excluded from calculations of habitable area. The proposal is conditioned to comply with the following requirements of Kitsap County Code Title 17415015B as amended June of 2022. There are no other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters on the property. The owner will reside in the ADU. 50% of the primary residence is 1,268 square feet. Therefore, the maximum allowed habitable area is 900 square feet. Dimensions are determined by interior measuring, and the proposed habitable area of the ADU shall not exceed 884 square feet. The ADU is approximately 87 feet from the single-family primary residence. The ADU will have similar appearance of the primary residence. It will be conditioned in the approval, if approved. The ADU meets all the required setbacks for the rural residential zone. All health standards for water and sewer have been met and approved. The proposed ADU is not a recreational vehicle or considered a mobile home. The ADU will use the existing driveway off Banner Road Southeast, and the project will be conditioned for any applicable stormwater controls pursuant to Kitsap County Code Title 12. Staff finds the proposal meets the special use criteria just mentioned in 17415015B and recommends approval as conditioned. And this does conclude staff's presentation. Thank you, examiner. And I, of course, am available for questions.
Okay, thanks, Ms. Greifels. Could you go back to, I think you had an aerial of the project site, right? In your
yes.
Preview. Oh, that's it. Oh boy, it's kind of hard to tell, but so yeah, I'd just like to confirm with ADUs that the adjoining properties don't notice the increased density. If there's a lot of tree buffering, that kind of thing, it does seem like the surrounding parcels are heavily treed, actually, so that they probably. It's. I mean, just to confirm, as Greifels, I mean, are both the homes visible from the adjoining lots? You think or not?
They are pretty well vegetated around the perimeter of the site, and both of these structures have been there since at least before
All right.
1994.
Yeah.
The
Yeah.
structure being converted was built in 1928 and then later
Wow.
used as the special care unit. There are, well, at least one adjacent directly north of this property that also has two structures, one being a manufactured home at 6451 Banner Road Southeast. Yeah, you are correct. They are very vegetated.
Yeah, and these are large lots, of course, and that kind of thing.
5.23 acres for this
Right.
unit.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. All right. Well, let's move on to applicants. If the applicant wants to add anything. I think I did notice that Mr. Turk was attending virtually. So, Mr. Turk, did you want to add? Did you want to say anything? You don't have to, but now's your chance.
Oh, sure. No comments at this time. Just thank you for your
Okay.
consideration. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mr. Turk. All right. And just to confirm with Ms. Walston, we have no one else in attendance virtually or in person. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I guess at this point, then I can go ahead and close the hearing. And it's very straightforward and easy approval. So we'll get that approval out within the next couple of weeks. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Turk and Ms. Greifels, for your great presentation. And we're done for the day. See you next time. Bye.
Thank you, examiner. Bye.
Thank you so much.